Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning and jumped forward to season 44, Drop the Four, Keep the Four. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris. And Mothe Vava. Goodbye, 4-4.
Ooh, I definitely forgot that. Moke?
Moke?
You just said it.
Yeah. Means goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye, 44. And hello, Goat Trophy.
Yeah. So you brought up the idea last time we did this of doing something different than a song.
Which you were staunchly against.
I was like, no, we have to do a song. And then when it came time for me to do a song, I was like, let me look up some stuff on Amazon real quick instead. And so I did not prepare a song. Instead, I had a company prepare a trophy for Patrick for winning Fantasy Survivor for 44. What's the trophy say, Patrick?
So I got a mysterious trophy, mysterious package on my porch yesterday, not expecting a package to me. And I was like, what's this? Maybe it's a bomb. Nope, it was...
It was in an Amazon box, I assume.
It was not in an Amazon box.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was like from like a third-party seller. It was a goat trophy. And it said, Survivor 44, fantasy winner, Patrick Heron. Seika Nalika, which means no worries.
Means no worries.
For the rest of your days.
And when he says goat trophy, it is like a trophy that instead of like an athlete on top, it's a goat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's proudly displayed in my bedroom currently. I like the idea of the trophy instead of a song. Because I proposed getting rid of the song, and then it seems convenient that you were against it until you had to do it, but that's fine. I do also think that, like, I don't know that I could have, like, just 10 trophies hanging around.
Well, who says the next one would be a trophy? That's just a start.
Yeah. So, we'll have to figure out when season 45 comes around, Drop the Four, Keep the Five, what we want to do for it.
I think it's just up to the loser to decide what the winner should get.
Well, that seems not right. I feel like the loser shouldn't get to decide their own punishment.
It's not a punishment. It's an award for the winner.
The song was definitely a punishment.
I guess I never viewed it as... I don't know. I viewed it as you had to construct it. Like, it was punishment, I guess, to have to do it, maybe, but, like, you're writing it as a reward for the winner, so that's how I view the trophy. Like, I don't know.
Man, maybe you're just nicer than me, I guess. But yeah, we can figure that out at the beginning of season 45.
Figuring it out. It comes at the end. Whoever loses decides a prize for the winner. It's not like when we won before, like you'd be like, I want you to write me a parody of this song. It was like the loser came up with
it. No, but it was decided ahead of time that the loser writes the winner a song.
Yeah.
And so it being open-ended, I don't know that I
think it's more exciting than the winner doesn't know what's coming. They're like, ooh, what could it be? What's going to be my reward?
Okay.
Keep them guessing.
That's fine.
Like, if you know it's like, well, at the end of the season, I get a goat trophy. Like, that's not as exciting.
Okay. That's fair. I thought of some good ideas, so I'm fine with this now.
Yeah.
But for now, I have a trophy. It says Seika Nalika on it. I think also it means that we either are now tied in fantasy or I might have a winning record now.
Oh, it's impossible to know.
Yeah, I'll do some math and figure it out for next time.
I think you're winning, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's confusing because we've covered now 18 seasons on this podcast, but we've only done fantasy for like half of them. So it's unclear. I don't remember all the ones that we've done. And sometimes guests are involved with losing and winning. So I would have to count it up.
Yeah.
But that's not great audio. So let's get into this finale.
Yeah. We open up with Jeff talking to the camera, talking to us about the season. He did a lot more of this in like 42 and 43, maybe.
41 and 42, I think.
He talked to the audience in 41. I'm glad he stopped because I don't need Jeff to summarize the season for me.
Yeah, I a little bit was like, Jeff, we're watching the finale. Do you think that some people just like watch the finale without watching the rest of the season? As I am saying that, I'm realizing the answer is probably yes. People probably go to like watch parties for the finale having not caught up. And so probably it is useful for some people.
I mean, I will say I prefer, I'll take him talking to us for like a minute over them giving an episode that's like, here's what happened this season on Survivor. So those episodes are worthless.
Listeners, we are concurrently watching season 15 to get ahead for the podcast a little bit. And we just watched one of those this week. Boy, howdy, they're rough.
Mm-hmm.
Season 15 is better than most, but listen for our podcast episode in a month for those thoughts.
So the survivors arrive on their new beach for the final few days. Night 23, they're talking about how there's probably an idol on this beach and how they want to look for it. And Carson's like, let's do that in the daylight, like tomorrow morning. And Jam Jam's just like digging in the sand randomly in the dark, like, I want to look right now. And Carolyn wanted to look right now too. And so the next day, in the daytime, we do get an idol hunting montage of people walking around and shots of most of them walking under the idol that's hidden in a tree. There's some talk of Lauren talking to Jam Jam about maybe Carson is a threat. Carson talks to the camera and says Carolyn and Jam Jam are who he has to worry the most about flipping or flopping.
It appears at this point that Carson genuinely wants to get to the final three with the Tika three.
Mm-hmm.
Which there's, I actually think is maybe the best move for all of them, but I think Carson would have won that. After watching this episode, that's probably not what I said last week, but after watching this episode, I see that Carson was probably the biggest jury threat.
Yeah. Maybe. It would have, I don't know. It would have been close between him and Jam Jam, I guess. I definitely, as we see from the result, like last week I was like, well, Carolyn's going to beat everybody. And I was very wrong about that. Yeah, we head to the challenge where they have to race through this three-level obstacle course collecting keys that will open up a rope to drop a ladder, and then they climb to the top of this tower to solve a puzzle. This will give them immunity as well as a reward, which is a trip to Sanctuary for spaghetti and chocolate cake and carrot cake, which Jeff is shocked to hear that someone could like carrot cake over chocolate cake. Jeff, I would pick carrot cake over chocolate cake.
Oh, 100%. I listened to Tyson's podcast on The Ringer, and he had some terrible remarks for people like us, Chris.
And
everyone there was like, oh, chocolate cake all the way. And I was like, no, fuck that. I would absolutely prefer carrot cake over chocolate cake. 100% of the time.
Yeah. And the good news for Tyson is if we both went on that reward together, we would just each get our own cake.
Oh, but Tyson would do the thing where he would take no one and just go by himself. Yeah. So you're not going on it with him.
That's fair. We have Heidi, who like has a slight lead for a bit, followed by Lauren and Carson and Carolyn. And then as we get to the puzzle, it's basically like Carson and Heidi kind of tied. But Carson, with his puzzle putting together skills, crushes his puzzle and takes the victory with immunity. And he gets to pick some. Yeah.
Oh. I, in our family, have been known to be pretty anti-jigsaw puzzle.
Okay.
I think that if I go on Survivor, I need to get really good at jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah.
I think I need to, like, in a challenge like this, I was like, oh, I'm so excited. They're doing, like, a vertical obstacle course thing again. Like, they do these sometimes, and I always think that they're really interesting and really fun to watch. Except that, like, I mean, Carson was like second place to the puzzle, but even if Carson was last place to that puzzle, he slaughtered everybody on the puzzle. The puzzle is the most important part. This challenge could have just been a jigsaw puzzle, and I need to be better at jigsaw puzzles, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, good to know. Not that I'm trying to go on Survivor, but they are doing open casting call in Ohio soon, so maybe.
You should try.
Throwing a casting call like a month before I have a new baby, so that's not going to happen.
That doesn't mean filming's going to start right away.
Filming would be in a year. Still have a baby under a year old. I don't think Kayla would appreciate me leaving for a month.
But she'd appreciate a nice fat stack of $1 million.
Yeah, I don't think that she would appreciate me leaving for a 1 in 18 shot of winning a fat stack of $1 million.
Okay.
You're not even that good at jigsaw puzzles, Chris. How am I going to win?
Did you practice?
Yeah. Also, the winner of this season wasn't very good at jigsaw puzzles. So,
Carson gets to choose somebody to go to Sanctuary with him for the feast. And he chooses Jam Jam. I think at this point, Carson was worried about Carolyn or Jam Jam flipping. I think Jam Jam makes the most sense out of those two, because I think Jam Jam would sooner flip on Carson than Carolyn would.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
Carson had immunity. How could they flip?
Like, just flip on the alliance, like by allying with other people. I'm not saying flipping and voting him.
Final four anyway.
I'm not saying flipping and voting him out, like making a new alliance with other people.
Like, I guess I just don't feel like alliances matter at the final four, so I don't know why he would care.
First, though, like picking who's going to go to the finals and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't know that. I don't know that flipping matters at this point.
I think Carson would still like to be able to like have a say with his alliance and who's getting voted out next.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which comes down to alliances. At the Sanctuary, Jam Jam says that he thinks Carolyn is the biggest threat in the final tribal. Carson seems to be going for a Tika 3 final. He thinks Lauren is a big threat because she's won challenges and has a lot of jury connections. We get some time back at camp where Heidi says she's confused that Carolyn was not chosen for the reward instead of Jam Jam. Lauren thinks that she's the next vote out, that Lauren is the next vote out. We talk about the last vote. Lauren tells Carolyn that Jam Jam was saying to vote Carolyn. And so these three are like kind of maybe talking about like, ooh, maybe we should get rid of Jam Jam then. The guys return from the reward. Carolyn is really like making Jam Jam nervous. Like she seems angry that she was not chosen for this reward, and then is kind of like making Jam Jam nervous that she might flip and vote him out. Carson says that Carolyn is hard to work with because she does random things all the time. Which I don't know that I agree with that. Like, I think she reacts emotionally a lot, but I think she's been pretty like tried and true with alliance stuff for the most part.
I think he more meant that like her reactions to things can be unpredictable, and then that sometimes takes some damage control, which I think is a fair statement.
Yeah. Jam Jam is worried. He wants to make sure the vote is split in some way in case Lauren has found the idol and plays the idol. He doesn't want the stray votes from like the non-Tika to go towards him and then he gets voted out. And they show a shot going into tribal, right before tribal council, of Lauren walking and looking basically right at the tree that has the idol hidden in it. So we don't know if she found the idol or not.
This whole sequence was one of the only parts that I like was frustrated by in this finale, because I thought it was overall a very satisfying finale. But they kept talking the whole time about Lauren being this like huge threat to win, and how if she gets to the end, she's going to win, and she has all these great connections of people on the jury. And I was like, you really needed to show us that at some point. Like, I believe that. And like, I liked Lauren from what I saw of her, but I would not have guessed that she would have been able to beat Jam Jam, Carolyn, or Carson at the final three. But it seems like everyone agrees with that. And like, from jury reactions during tribal council, it kind of seemed like they agreed with it too. And I was surprised.
I mean, like, three of the jurors were on Ratu with Lauren. And so, like, if they're voting at all with, like, their tribal lines, like, that's going to be... She only needs to pick up one more vote from that.
Yeah, I just didn't... I guess in the new era, I don't see people voting along tribal lines at Final Tribal Council very frequently. But then again, on the new era, we've all seen 7-1-0 votes every time. So maybe it would happen more. But I was just like... We didn't get to see, like, yes, Lauren was on a tribe with Brandon and Kane and Jamie. But we saw Lauren and Jamie have a friendship a little bit. We never really saw Lauren and Brandon and Kane be friends.
Yeah. But, like, more of a connection with them than the Tika 3 would have had just more time with them.
Yeah, I guess.
And I think
we saw more of Carson and Kane being friends than Lauren and Kane being friends.
And I think
Carson was also with them for a bit.
For the Tika 3, it's like if they're going to stick strong as a Tika 3, then they have to eliminate whatever they view the next biggest threat is. And so even if they wouldn't actually think Lauren would beat them, like, she would be the next biggest threat is what they're thinking.
Yeah, that's fair.
Lauren talks to Tribal Council about how she's nervous that nobody was really talking to her that day leading up to Tribal Council. Carolyn's surprised by this because she's like, we definitely talked about stuff. Jeff says that this season in particular, this group of contestants, it's been hard to tell for him, like, during these Tribal Councils, to tell, like, what's the truth and what's actually happening and who's going to get voted out and stuff, which I thought was interesting for him to include that, like, because that makes it seem like he usually does know, like, what's going on or who's going to get voted out, which makes sense. There's some emotional talking from Lauren and from Jam Jam because they're pretty sure it's one of them that is going home. I think Lauren was doing some good early jury talk here, which doesn't matter because she gets voted out here, but she was like, she was having some good language here that was like kind of talking up the jury, and I thought was a really good move, but it didn't end up mattering.
Yeah. There are parts of this like that I was like, oh, maybe Lauren does have the idol and she's going to survive here. But then I, at the time, was like, no, I think that if Lauren has an idol, Jam Jam's going home, and they would have been done a lot. Like, this feels like a goodbye to Lauren, and they kind of did that last week where it felt like a goodbye to Carolyn and then Jamie went home. But I don't think that with such a big character of Jam Jam, they would like do this big goodbye to Lauren and then Jam Jam suddenly gone. Now, granted, it turns out with how the voting happens that I think that Heidi would have probably been gone and that they might have done. But I was like, I don't think that they would send Jam Jam out without some sort of goodbye, and he's not getting that. So I think it's Lauren.
So they vote. Right before the votes are revealed, Jeff asks if anybody has the idol, and Lauren's like, Jeff. He's like, yeah. And she's like, just kidding. She does not have the idol. And votes come out 3-1-1. Lauren voted for Jam Jam, and then Jam Jam voted for Heidi to help split that vote. So that way, if Lauren had played her idol, it would have been a 1-1 tie, so it would have been a revote. 3-1-1 has happened, I think, five. This is the fifth time we've seen four of them. So it happened in season 12 to Shane, in season 15, which we haven't aired those episodes, but we've seen it happen to Aaron, happened in 43 to Justine, and then now in 44 to Lauren.
Oh, cool.
So we head to the next day, day 25, and we don't even get like any downtime in between. We just go straight into a challenge.
Submotion.
Is Submotion. Carolyn is crying coming in. She's very emotional. This challenge is set up on this like high like cliffside overlooking this beautiful view.
Best view in Fiji, Jeff says.
Yeah. So we've seen some motion before. There's balls that go on this track, and it could come out one of two spots, and it alternates back and forth between the spots, and you just have to kind of keep the balls going with only one hand. Carolyn is the first one out, followed by Jam Jam, and then Carson, which means Heidi wins.
I have a question for you, Chris.
Yeah.
Jeff said something during this challenge that really bugged me. Because Kayla and I were watching this challenge and talking about we think it looks fun and talking about what our strategies would be. And then Jeff was like, what you want is to have the most amount of time between balls as you can. And I was like, hard disagree, I think. I think he's wrong.
Wait, why would you not want time between balls?
Because I think you want time between the balls, but not, I don't think you want to maximize that. Because I think that he's making it sound like you want to like have the time each time, where I think that I want like enough time to like put it in and then grab the next one. Because if I have one ball and then halfway through I add the second ball and then halfway through I add a third ball, they're not consistent anymore. So I think that I want like just a consistent like 4 or 5 seconds between the balls. And that'll mean that there's one large gap, but I want all of my gaps to be the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you could, I mean, yeah, you can slightly change that as it goes. I also think it is less easy to get the timing than it seems, because when they go to the other track, I think that affects the timing, because they were talking about this on Tyson's podcast too. And I don't think it's just as easy as, like, if you put one ball in and then you wait 5 seconds with the next ball in, that they're going to come out 5 seconds apart. I think switching over from one side of the track to the other side of the track, like, there's a time that affects things.
Oh, you don't think that both sides of the track are the same, like, distance?
I mean, even if they are, like, circularly, it's got to go a little bit of a distance to get from, like, us viewing it, like, the right side to, like, the left side. Like, so it's going to have, like, a little bit of a time loss, I feel like. I could be completely wrong on that, but I, like, interpret that as, like, that's part of the challenges of the challenges. Like, even trying to establish a time and have a plan, like, the challenge itself messes you up.
Oh, that's interesting. I never even considered that it might be varying amounts of time. That would mess me up a little bit. I think I would just, like, up the amount of time a little bit to, like, 6 or 7 seconds. But, yeah. I think what I would actually do is, when we start, we just have one ball, and I would, like, count that time in my head and try to time that.
Yeah.
And then base all of my other increments off of that.
Yeah. I think that would probably be the way to go. That would also help keep you in the zone and, like, tone out anything else that's happening. I was thinking about that during this challenge, because sometimes in challenges, the players can, like, completely just zone out, ignore the other contestants, ignore Jeff. But challenges like this and, like, balancing ones, you can kind of do that, but you also kind of have to pay attention for, like, instructions from Jeff of, like, hey, you need to add another ball now. So I wonder if, like, I wonder if contestants, like, completely, like, meditate, zone out so much. Like, if it's happened in the past where Jeff had to be, like, get in their face a little bit and yell at them and be like, hey, we're moving on. Pay attention.
Oh, that's interesting. I never even considered that.
Like, in the last gasp, like, Jam Jam was, like, in the zone. I mean, that was a different situation where he didn't actually have to, like, change anything, but he was, like, completely in the zone and didn't even know he had won. And so, like,
well, and that's also that he, like, literally couldn't hear anything because he was underwater.
Yeah, I think this challenge would be super fun to do. I would imagine we'll keep seeing it just because it's probably harder to super accurately recreate from home.
And well, so and, like, we saw this in season 42. This is the second time that you and I have seen this. But in season 42, they lost, like, after, like, two balls. I don't think they even got a third in. Mm-hmm. And this one, they had, like, four or five.
See, that's why I kind of think, like, it's almost better to just do the big gap, like, bigger gaps. Although, I don't know how many times it's been on the show, but, like, from what we've seen, the two times we've seen it, they don't get past, like, four balls. And so you don't have to prep for six balls, kind of.
Yeah, but I think that I would want to be prepared for six balls. And I also think that, like, I would rather have, like, a kind of rapid fire and then break and then rapid fire and then break rather than, like, constant anxiety of when the next one is coming.
I mean, I don't know that you're getting much of a break. I think it's going to be constant anxiety. I think the rapid fire is tough because it's just, you don't have any room for error. Like, I even saw it with, like, one of them almost got messed up when they went to put it back in. They just, like, fumbled a second with, like, getting it lined up just to push the ball back in the slot. That, like, those little fumbles can really mess you up if you're going, like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I want to do this challenge.
Well, casting call is coming to Ohio.
Oh, really?
It's first probably for 40. Week. What's the casting call for? 47?
It's for 47, yeah.
Yeah. Get on it.
It's Put-in Bay. That's, like, barely Ohio.
They're doing the casting call at Put-in Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Interesting. When?
In June.
I was going to say, we're in July. The vacation house our family rented is, like, very close to Put-in Bay.
Yeah, no, I considered that.
All right, so Heidi wins. Jeff is, like, talks about how she then has control over who's going to go to fire, and she's like, maybe it's going to be me. That would be a good way to build my resume. Which it ends up being her. Back at camp, they have knives and flints waiting for them to practice making fire, and so we get a lot of them practicing They all can make fire. Carson is struggling, and he kind of like breaks down into tears because he's like, I could do this at home. I practiced at home, so I can't get it to work here. And so Jam Jam is very kindly giving him tips and then kind of like ghosts him, like the movie Ghost, where he like puts his arms around him and he's like, this is how you hold the knife. Which I was a very sweet moment from Jam Jam. I think this was also a very strategic moment from Jam Jam, because if he's like, okay, if Carson ends up on the jury, here we go. Like, who's going to whip up votes for me more than the guy just like helped potentially beat me in Making Fire?
Yeah, I think that there is a really sweet confessional from Jam Jam where he says, like, was it a good move or a bad move? I don't know if it was a bad move. It's what I wanted to do at the time. And it was like very nice and sweet and very much just like, I'm helping out my friend. And I feel like it was like very typical of his game, of like, yes, there was a lot of strategy, but there was also a lot of like heart and genuine connection, and like those go together. Where, because I agree with you, I was like, yes, but also like, you're pretty sure Carson's losing right now, and so this makes you look really good and he's gonna fight for you on the jury. Yeah. But I think Carson probably would have fought for Jam Jam on the jury anyway, and so I think it was just him being nice for the most part.
It is like, though, so like, I think that is all true, but also if Jam Jam's like, okay, if Carson's the one going to fire, then it's going to be me and, it might be me and Carolyn in the final three, so this is a way to separate myself from Carolyn. Like, she didn't do this to Carson, so this would be a good way for Carson to whip up votes for Jam Jam rather than Carolyn. So we go to tribal council, and Heidi says at the beginning, like, haven't made up my decision yet. But she ultimately decides to make fire against Carson, which means Carolyn and Jam Jam are in the final three for sure. And then whoever wins this fire making challenge goes against them. And Heidi gets a fire going very quickly. And Carson does get some flame going, but Heidi's is too fast. So fast that she set the record for fastest fire making, which that record was held by Gabler last season, because he set the record for fastest fire making.
Yeah, which means that he held that record for approximately 26 days.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised, I guess maybe not for like spoilers, or maybe not how they're going to air it, or I don't know. I thought Jeff would be like, hey, that record was like just broken. Like, you guys don't know this, but that record was just set by the winner of last season or something. Like, that would have been a fun, like, I don't know, trivia thing he could have thrown at them for these mega fans of Survivor. Like, you don't know this, but the record was just broken.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised that that wasn't mentioned either, because I was like, Jeff said this last season too. Mm-hmm. I even looked, because I was like, I wonder if he means in comparison to things that they have seen, like, or if it included Gabler, but mm-hmm. It was faster than Gabler's.
Yeah, so that tells us the final three is Jam Jam, Carolyn, and Heidi. And so we get one last day with them at camp. Patrick, do you know how many get to the final three?
Three.
Yeah, I didn't note down who said that. That had to have been a Jam Jam, probably.
It was Jam Jam, yeah.
They get a little final breakfast feast. Then there's like the typical montage of the jury saying their thoughts, and some of the final three being worried. Matt saying season 44 was an absolute banger season.
And that's the name of the episode, which I did predict, but I think I said it was going to happen in the like after show, and it happened here. So,
And so we head to final tribal council.
I'm just noting this because I think that we should talk about it a little bit. They all, it seems in their little like jury confessionals, and then also in the beginning of questioning, say that their vote is totally up for grabs. And yeah, I think I believe them about that.
Yeah, Kane starts by saying that. He's like, listen, just so you know, everybody's vote's up in the air. And I liked Kane's starting question, because we've seen, this is our 18th final tribal council we've seen, and the questions get kind of repetitive and like repeated over season to season. But he said, his question was like, how do you think you're perceived, or what do you think you're perceived as? And then I think maybe as a follow-up, like, how does that relate to who you are, or something like that? I thought that was just an interesting question for people to have to think about, like, how other people view them. So I thought that was a nice new question I don't remember hearing before from Kane.
Yeah.
Which throughout this whole process, like, I'm not going to talk about that much about the questions probably, but there was a very much Carson doing like stage mom vibes to Carolyn and Jam Jam, which I thought was kind of like a weird thing, but I don't know. It was somewhat endearing where Carson would just like sit there and as like Jam Jam or Carolyn were answering questions, he'd like give thumbs up or like little like hand motion of like, yeah, 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 keep doing that. Like more of that. Yep. Uh-huh. Good, good. Which was kind of cute.
Yeah. I thought it was very good. And it was,
it's kind of also a big fuck you. He
was like in like the back corner of the jury. So I don't think the rest of the jury really realized he was doing it.
Yeah. It sucks for Heidi, but it was cute for the Tika 3.
Heidi's main argument is like, I used people as a shield. I used Danny as a shield. I knew that I needed to like make a big move. And so I did that by winning final immunity, giving that up, and still taking out the biggest jury threat at Fire and making the fastest Fire. And also I'm a badass woman entrepreneur, and like also gave a little bit of like a personal story for that. Jam Jam's main thing was that like he was basically in control the whole game, and like he had a really great point about how he made real connections with people, and what that allowed him to do is that he would see the twinkle in their eye when they talked about things that they loved or people that they loved, and then when they were lying to him, he could see that twinkle disappear, and that's how he knew when people were lying, and he had a good read on people in that way. And his whole thing was like balancing the social real relationships that he had with the strategy and that type of stuff. He was asked how he used people, and like I thought he answered that question really, really well. Carolyn made similar arguments, but just not as well, I think. Like she also talked about just like she was openly herself, but she was still playing this game. We just didn't give us many specific examples. So I think that because her argument was similar to Jam Jam's and just not as good, Jam Jam beat her out here.
Yeah, and I also think like this is one that I would have liked to see almost like the unedited of this, because it's quite possible Carolyn did give better examples. And because Jam Jam was the winner, they edited it for us to see his answers more than her answers, just because they can only show us so much of the final tribal. But yeah, Jam Jam did do a really good job of addressing this. He even had a good line at one point where he's like, he says something like, you should have come for me and you didn't, like telling the jury like, clearly I was a threat, like you should have taken me out and you didn't, so I'm here, you're not. He does a really good job of being like kind of like cocky almost, but like in a friendly, lovable way that the players like don't mind. Heidi I thought was a little too like political in her answers. Like some of her answers came off as like sounding like a politician giving like prepare or like an interviewee, like giving prepared answers, whereas Jam Jam was more like conversational from the heart answers kind of.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Heidi also interrupted Jam Jam a couple times and Jam Jam kind of like shut it down, which they then like very quickly apologized for at the end, which was nice.
Heidi at one point Jam Jam also that...
like after Heidi said, I would be the oldest woman, oldest woman who has won the game, I think is what it was. He's like, well, I would be the first Puerto Rican to win the game, so you should give me your votes for that, which is pretty funny.
Carolyn mentions that some of like the bickering and fighting between her and Jam Jam was purposely played up so that way it would not seem like they were like as strong as they were. She mentions the idol and doing like the red X hiding trick of the fake idol at the beginning of the season. She mentions, well, they do talk about that at some point, but she mentions playing the idol to save Carson, and Jam Jam's like, yeah, but you didn't need to play it.
And she is like, but I did, because I needed to ensure that Danny was out, because Danny was like the ringleader of the other side of things, and so I needed to take him out, which I thought was a really good answer.
Yeah, I thought she...
I trusted you, I didn't trust Lauren and Jamie, and so like I needed to make sure that this happened.
Carson asked them a question about being on the right side of the vote and gives like percentages of like how often they were on the right side of the vote. I thought it would have been worthwhile for Jam Jam to mention that sometimes it's not always good to be on the right side of the vote, like in the vote they just had, at Final Five, like Jam Jam purposely was not on the right side in order to protect himself. And so that the statistics are not always the best.
I don't think, well, Jam Jam had the highest statistic, and when I like looked at it, Carson took that into account. Like, if you knew what was actually happening, Carson allowed that.
Oh, okay.
He gave Jam Jam a 90%, which would be like 9 out of 10. And so the one that Jam Jam was not on the right side of was when, like, Sarah got voted out pre-merge, and he was trying to get Josh out, and Carolyn and Josh planned against Sarah.
Okay.
But Carson gave it to him for knowing that, because he also voted against Franny when the idol got played on Franny, but that, in Carson's stats, that didn't count against him.
Gotcha. So then they go vote, which Jeff just says, let's go vote. He doesn't remind them that this is the final. And so this time you want to vote for who you want to win. Where Jeff, like, I feel like he always gives this little, like, lecture at the end of, like, okay, this time you want to vote for who you want to win. And then when he reads the votes, he's like, this time you want to hear your name. And Jeff didn't give that this time.
I don't know if he does that in the new era.
I don't know either. It just stood out to me here. I was like, wait, Jeff, remind them. What if they don't know?
What if they forget?
And then the votes come out, and Jam Jam wins 7-1-0.
With one vote going to Heidi from Danny.
Yeah. And Jeff says, from the go, this group was full tilt boogie. And we get a little bit of after show talk. There's some talk of fake idols. Matt says that he figured out his was a fake. Jamie tells the story of finding her idol and, like, this long story about how she found it by the well and she was with Kane, or she gave it to Kane to hold on to. And then Jeff reveals that Matthew planted it and it was a fake. And everybody was like, what? That was fun.
That was very fun.
Jeff asked Jam Jam and Carolyn to pitch a comedy show starring the two of them, which was cute. And they said Carson would be their kid. Jeff asks about Matt and Franny, which the jury or that group have called Manny. That one was really fun. I went and rewatched that because I wanted to show it to my roommates, just that, like, showmance part. And that one was really fun because Carolyn, you really got reactions from Carolyn and Jam Jam because they didn't even know that romance was a thing. And so that was just fun to watch, like, and not realize, like, as the viewers, we get to see, like, everything, but as the players, that's not always the case. And so that was fun to see there. Jeff asks if there's been a showmance, and Matt says, Jeff, a showmance has occurred. And he says, we had more current chemistry than a pharmaceutical lab. Jeff says, how legit is it? Are there plans? And Franny says, yeah, there are plans.
There was a funny moment from Heidi saying, like, we were like, what? Like, this is a terrible move. What are they doing? Have they ever even seen the show? And Franny was like, yeah, we know. Yeah. We're aware it was a bad move. We know.
Yeah, Franny, man, I really wanted to see more of Franny. Like, I wish she had made it longer in the season. Because she had, like, a good response here, too, where she was like, my mom's a huge Survivor fan. She gave me a, like, 10-step list of, like, how Franny's going to win Survivor. And one of them was to find a ride or die, which explains why, like, Franny was kind of okay with this, even though they know that, like, a duo is tough. Having a ride or die is important too. And so that was cool. We get Carson says that he gained about 30 pounds training to come on the show. He used to be, like, a lot thinner and smaller, and he did a lot of training. So that was cool. He reveals that he was working with NASA, and that blows some people's minds. Carolyn was like, NASA, what?
Yeah.
And so that's fun.
I saw a TikTok from Carson about how he gained the 30 pounds. And it's book wild. Because it's not just, like, the muscle training. He mostly talks about, like, how he could ingest that many calories and that much protein because he just needed, like, a shit ton of protein. And he would, like, sleep with a protein shake next to his bed with alarms to, like, take up, like, wake up and drink part of it every hour just because he needed more protein in his system. And I was like, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Franny has a really nice moment. She says that Carolyn changed her life with how she's so unabashedly herself. And that was just very nice because it was clear, or it just could be, I don't know. Carolyn probably wasn't feeling great getting zero votes as a finalist here. But I think even Jeff brings up, he's like, listen, these people only get one vote. So just because Carolyn got nothing doesn't mean nobody wanted to vote for her. Like, their second choice of a vote for a lot of people would have probably been Carolyn. Jeff does the stupid question of, like, Carolyn, you got no votes. How's that feel? And it's like, Jeff, She's had 5 minutes to process this, like, back off, which Carolyn talked about in some interview about how it's having the after show right after this, which we've talked about before, is just awful for these players. Like, they should give them a night, at least like a night at Ponderosa, and then bring them back stay or a week or something.
Yeah, fully agree. I also saw an idea of, like, if you want to do it right away, make day 26, like, they go to the sanctuary and they get showers and they get food, because then they're not, like, sitting there still starving.
Yeah.
And you probing them with all of these questions. So his whole thing about, like, they all only got one vote, I think makes total sense. And I think that's what happened. Like, I think a lot of people would have put Jam Jam, then Carolyn, then Heidi.
And why ranked choice voting is important. We need ranked choice voting.
Yeah. Like, politically. I don't know if that would have helped in this situation, actually.
Oh, no, I don't think it would have in this situation, but
like,
I think we need that.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. But I was like, I think it would be interesting to have a Survivor season where the jury gets like 10 votes apiece. And so you can give 10 to Jam Jam and 0 to no one else. Or you can give, like, I'm going to give 5 to Jam Jam and 4 to Carolyn and 1 to Heidi. Because I think that Heidi deserves something. And Jam Jam and Carolyn were pretty close.
Like, you think that would have affected the winner here?
I don't think it would have. I think it would have affected second place. I think that yeah. Carolyn would have $100,000.
I mean, that's the same. That I mean, you just described ranked choice voting, basically.
But doesn't ranked choice voting, like with this, they would count up all of the votes, and Jam Jam would have the majority of first place votes, and they wouldn't do anything else, right?
Oh,
and Heidi had one first place vote, so Heidi would still get second place.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, actually.
I kind of like the idea of it being like, or if you want to give, you know, Jam Jam 7 and Carolyn 3, or like that concept of it, I think would be fascinating.
The good news for Carolyn is, even though second place is, what, 100,000, and she did not win that from the show, she did win the CEO award, and so she did get $100,000 from CEO.
Yeah,
and it's tax-free. And then, nope, not hers.
I thought Sia said that she paid the taxes on hers.
Oh, maybe that. I know that I saw Sia, she also gave $15,000 to Lauren and $15,000 to Carson, I think.
Yeah.
And to Lauren, she was like, that's the most I can give you that's tax-free.
Oh, yes. But I think that, I think I also saw something that was on the Sia prizes. She gives them enough that after taxes, it is that amount.
Well, that kind of takes away what she said to Lauren then, because why wouldn't she just give her more then? It's like, well, I can only give you up to 15,000 because there's, then you don't have to worry about taxes on this. Like, she could have just like,
oh yeah, I guess I don't
more
know.
Then.
That's a good point. I don't know.
So that's nice. Carolyn still got like the second place prize amount of money, and good for Lauren and Carson to get a little bit of money out of that too, which was nice.
Carson, I don't know if you watched the videos of that.
I saw Carolyn's, and then I like read an interview for Lauren's. I didn't see anything about Carson's.
Carson, I saw his video. I think he posted it on TikTok. He's on TikTok a lot, and I just happened to have seen him a lot on TikTok. His was very fun because she pops on and he is like, I am in your 0.1% listeners on Spotify. Like, I am your biggest fan, Sia. This is amazing. And, like, freaks out. And he's like, my sister and I have a game where we will, like, play a random Sia song and, like, be able to name the title of it within the first 5 seconds. So he, like, doesn't just freak out that he's winning money. He's like, I am your number one fan. This is amazing. So that was very fun to see.
So if
to see,
this
yeah.
season had aired, like, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we for sure would get an immediate spinoff show with Carolyn and Jam Jam and Carson. Like, we saw that there was, like, the worst shows that were awful and, like, not at all entertaining with, like, Boston Rob had one of, like, Boston and Amber Get Married or whatever that was called. Not Boston,
yeah.
Rob and Amber Get Married. And then there was Tom.
Yeah.
From Africa and All Stars. But we're not like 15 years ago. We're now. I still think there's a chance we could see it happen. I feel like TV is like starting to turn around where there's so many networks, so many streaming services. that there's like these little like niche shows that get made. It would not surprise me that if in the next 6 months we hear there's like some sort of Carolyn Jam Jam thing happening.
I think I would still be surprised just because like they have lives and families where they live. And I don't think that either of them were looking to like move.
They don't necessarily have to move for a show. They just have to like go somewhere to film for a bit. Like they just left their families for a month for Survivor. They could do that to film a show.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe.
I mean, I just more than like any other modern day contestants, they are the biggest like characters that I was like, you know, I could possibly see this actually happen. Yeah. You got anything else to say about the season?
No, I liked it overall. I think it was my favorite of the new era.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know my thoughts on it yet. I liked it. I liked a lot of the people a lot. I don't know where it ranks with my new era seasons yet. I was kind of surprised to hear that from you because you were really not into it in like the middle of it. You were unhappy with a lot of the things they were doing.
Well, that's true of all of the new era. So, like my second favorite new era is 42, which still had the dumb fucking hourglass twist in it. So, like, when I did think about that, I was like, there was a point when I was pretty pissed off at this season, but then it got really good in like the second half, and I think that all of the new era had certain things that pissed me off too. Like, I don't think it's my number one season, period. But I think it is my number one of the new era.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel like I enjoyed the people, but I don't necessarily think like a lot of the gameplay was particularly like standing out to me. I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Yeah. Later, I guess.
You got a luxury item this week?
Oh, well, wait, sorry. Another thing that we still have to do is we talked about how I won fantasy, but also we made a bunch of other predictions for the season. We predicted how many episode titles would be spoken by Jeff. Chris got that one right with one. Idols in the game total. Our guest Nate, which we didn't mention, but Nate unfortunately couldn't join us today. But he was correct with 7 idols in the game total. Chris was correct with 11 players with a merge buff. I was right with 2 tied tribal council votes. Nate was right with 3 successful idol plays. Yeah, yes. I forgot about one of those, and I was like, 3? Really? I was the closest with how many shot in the dark plays there would be. There were 3, and I said 4. Chris was correct with, was closest with how many live tribals. He said 2, and there was 1. I was closest with how many non-idol advantages there would be. There were 3, and I said 5. And then Nate was correct with how many unanimous votes there were. He said 3, and there were only 2.
So we each won 3 of those things. 3-3-3.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I will say also with that, I talked about ways people got voted out. Lauren getting voted out 3-1-1 meant that it finished the streak for the season that every single person this season was, every single like vote result was different this season, which happened in, I can't remember, I think I said season 10, and then it's about to happen in season 15, which we're about to watch. But at least for the seasons we've seen, is not a common occurrence.
Yeah. Luxury item. I totally could have made this myself, but I didn't. I bought them at the farmer's market. Got some dark chocolate covered Oreos. Pretty tasty.
That's good. I'm going to say the show Queer Eye.
Ooh.
They added a new season on Netflix, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. It's great. It's really good. I think it's like the 7th season they have on there. If you have not gotten into it or forgot about it because it's been a long time between seasons, check it out. It's very good.
Is it the same 5 people or 4 or 5?
Mm-hmm. Same people. Yep. Yeah, it's great. It's funny to like think back to things they were doing in season 1 compared to like what they're doing now, just because they've also like, they take on like bigger challenges and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really good. Feel good show. Also tends to make you cry pretty much every episode. So, but that's usually like usually happy tears. Sometimes it's because of like very sad stories that are being told and stuff. But yeah, highly recommend. Really good show. Yeah. All right, listeners, this ends Survivor 44, Drop the Four, Keep the Four. If you are in on hearing about older seasons, next week the episode will come out talking about Survivor Season 15, China. And that season we're going to do in, I think we're doing it in 5 episodes.
I think that sounds right.
So the next week will be the first 2 episodes of the season. And then the following week will be 3 episodes, and then 3 episodes, and then 4 episodes, and then like the last few episodes of the season. So I guess that's, yeah. So 5 total episodes for that season. Our plan throughout the summer is to hopefully get through seasons 15, 16, and 17 before 45 starts back up in September. And so if you want to hear about those, I know it's a quick pace to watch the episodes, but hey, if you're a big Survivor fan and you've already seen the episodes, you don't need to watch them each week. We do the recap, so you can just listen along and be like, oh yeah, I remember that happening. And yes, that is a funny joke, Patrick. And just, you know, follow along with something like that. That'd be great.
Yeah, these are some of the popularly known as like the golden era of Survivor is what we're getting into at this point. So yeah, like I mentioned earlier, Chris and I have been watching season 15 and it's been great so far. And I'm really excited for 16 because it's fans versus favorites, which is like often cited as people's favorite season. So pretty stoked for that this summer.
Yes. So listeners, let us know what you thought of season 44, where it fits into your rankings of the new era of Survivor. And you can do that by emailing us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweeting us at tribalcouncil20. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
O-A-O-A-O-A-I.